Psalms 101, it says to us, I will sing of the loving kindness and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing your praises. I will give heed to the blameless way. When will you come to me? I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will know no evil. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. No one who has a haughty look and an arrogant heart will I endure. Here David is asking the question, God, when will you come to me? It's not if, it's when you will come to me. The coming of God towards us is inevitable. I said to you tonight that the coming of God to us is inevitable. God wants to meet us. He wants to visit us. He wants something sovereign to happen in our lives. When, not if, when will you come to me? Tell me exactly when will be the time. When will be the time for God encounter? What must I do for that day that is going to happen before my eyes? When will you come, Lord? I mean, here was David just talking some real serious things before the presence of God. He said, God, when will you come to me? When will your presence approach me? When will you come? I want to be ready. I want to be prepared. I want to put all the ingredients necessary into my life that when you come, things will begin to happen. Amen. I believe in every visitation of God that He comes towards us, something sovereign is deposited in our lives. I've never seen a time when God came and visited my life and visited me. There's been a time of casual, a time where it's only casual, just to bless me. There's always been a time to leave something behind so deep that will impact my life forever. When the angel came and spoke to Elijah, he said to Elijah, eat this bread. Then after he'd eaten, he went to sleep again, woke him up again, gave him the second portion. He said, eat this bread because what you're eating now is going to be for your journey in the future. I want God to deposit something in my life that will help me for my future. Amen. I'm just not interested in temporary needs. You know, I'm sad, I can get over it. I don't want God to worry about my sadness because there are some things in my life, you know, I can get over. I don't want God just to come and strengthen me and because I'm tired. Because if I go to sleep, I will be okay. I want something more than just God blessing my physical body. I want something more than just God, giving me some joy, some peace. Because life is full of eventualities. Sometimes we are joyful, sometimes we are more joyful. Other times we are sad, other times we are released from that. But all these things are things that pass away. I want God to come to give to me something permanent that will help me for the future. I want you to start to think. Don't just ask God for superficial things. Give me some joy. Give me some peace. It strengthened my body. Oh, listen, my friends, if you do get back in some physical exercises, maybe your body will be strengthened again. Don't ask. Don't let Him come all the way from heaven just to give you some joy. Are you hearing me? Ask the Lord for more. God, when you come to me, deposit things in my life. When you meet me, show me your glory. Show me your name so that I know who you are. So that I can go to Pharaoh and say, this is He who met me. All the encounters must make it count. Amen. You must make it count. When will you come to me? When will you come and visit me? When will you put those deposits into my life? When will you cause that encounter become so real that when I leave your presence, I can totally represent you? Amen. When I leave your presence, I can declare forth your name. When I leave your presence, I can finish the commission for which you have called me. Hallelujah. What a day. When, Lord, when will you come to me? And this is what David says, because I know your coming is inevitable. Because I know something is going to happen. Because I know that you're going to visit me. I'm going to do something to prepare myself so that when you come, you will stay with me. You will abide with me. So David said, I know you're going to come. How many of you know He's going to come? Do you believe He's going to come? Do you believe He's going to visit you and He's going to deposit things into your heart? If you know, my friends, then something must happen because we need to have a clarity on the inside of our hearts. He is coming. Amen. He is coming. It's inevitable. He is coming. So David said, I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. My friends, values are built at home. Values are built at home. If God is going to come, make sure that those values, I will walk with integrity in my own house. It starts there. It starts in your own room. It starts in your own life. It starts in your own family. It starts in your own lifestyle. You've got to start right there. If God's not going to visit you if you have a mess at home. Because if he visits you and there is nothing is set on the home base, then everything is just going to fall apart. Are you hearing me? It says, I will dwell with the integrity of my heart in my own house. Most of the time, it's in that place that we fall. It's in that place we are not accurate. But when we come to church, we know how to behave. But in the house, we're careless because we have everything we want. It's a comfortable nest. We got the television. We got the books. We got our own food. We got our own beds and everything is there. But in the church, we just got to dress up for work. We got to dress up for service. We got to dress up, you know, and prop up our lives. But in the home is where you really are made. Amen. Let God visit you. I said, let God visit you. So he says, I will live with the integrity of my heart. I will live an unchangeable life, unchangeable character. I will live with consistent value systems in my home that I will live every day like this. Not 2 days, I become very fervent for God and fast and pray. And the third day, you begin to watch television from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Oh, God, help us. Let's be consistent in the house. Let's be consistent with values. Amen. Don't just fast one day and then the rest of the day keep eating and eating and eating and eating. My friends, be consistent. Let values be built into your heart because God knows, because it's in the home that we set a standard for our lives. Outside, we can't brag and set a standard and show that, oh, we are really righteous. No, no. When people are not looking, when you're living on your own life, it's you and God. In your family, it's there that you build those foundations into your life because that's where it really matters. In the church, we can carry a standard, but that's not what matters because nobody knows how you are at home. I will live with integrity inside my house. Can you say amen to that? Right in your place, right in your house, how you live righteously. And I believe very strongly, David was very sure that God was going to require these things from him. Number two, he says this, I will not set no worthless thing before my eyes. Priority and focus on things that are of worth. Priority and focus on things that have worth. Don't set your eyes on the wrong things. Amen? Don't set your eyes on the wrong things. Set your eyes on things that have real value. Set your eyes and put some priority and focus on things that are of worth. Don't set your eyes before worthless things. Can you say amen to that? Where is our eyes focused? Sometimes our eyes are focused on the world. Other times our eyes are focused on what other people are doing and all kinds of things. It distracts us and it takes away our strength to finish. I remember a friend of mine, as we were running the race, we were just about finishing. You know, I was running second, he was running third, and there was somebody else way ahead of us. And I saw my friend looking back. Once you get distracted by all the sound and wanting to see and all the fears distract you and the sound of other voices distract you, you turn back. And you know, at the podium when we were receiving our gifts, somebody was first, I was second, and the guy was not third because he was distracted at the last moment. When you focus on the wrong things, your strength is dissipated. You have no power to finish. Keep your eyes focused like a flint. Set your eyes on the work of that he has set aside for you. Keep running and running and running. Because the more you become focused, the more you can concentrate your energy to finish the course. Can you say amen to that? Amen. You see, in war, it's called the concentration of forces. Concentrate everything that you have and put it into the place called finish. Amen. All your efforts, all your energy, all your troops, your battalion, hid in one area. Until everything breaks in that area. That becomes your entrance point into all the enemy's territories. What a day we are living in. Amen. What a day of excitement we are living in. If we can be like David. I know God is going to come. So I'm going to set my focus. I'm not going to set my eyes on any worthless thing. I'm going to have all the energy so that I can dash forward and finish the course. Amen. It's this attitude that's in our hearts that's going to give us strength. To hold back all the things that will dissipate our strength, that will cause our strength to ooze out of our body. We want to be able to be. When God will begin to move us forward, we will not be going out weak and feeble. There was no one who was feeble among them when he led them. Hallelujah. There was no one that stumbled when God led them out of Egypt and they were on their way to the promised land. Everyone was healed. Everyone was delivered. There was no one weak among them. There was no one stumbling among them. There was no one crippled among them. They all began to rose with all their heart and they went forward. My friends, we don't want the lame to go out there because it's going to be a long journey out in the wilderness. And I believe very, very strongly. You know, sometimes, you know, the movies, especially if you watch Ten Commandments, you find that the people were sick and they were feeble and some were carried, bedridden. My Bible tells me otherwise. Bible says God heal every one of them. All right, if you watch the movie, The Ten Commandments, as they went out, there are some people on the stretcher and some people are, no, my Bible tells me the weak were healed. The weak were delivered, that every one of them, none of them was wavering, none of them was weak, none of them was feeble. Everyone who left Egypt was strong, healthy, was able to take the journey, and they were walking, except for the bones of Joseph. Amazing. Amen. When God will take you out, He's going to heal you totally for the journey, fit for the journey. Keep your eyes focused on Him. Can you say amen to that? He says this, I hate the work of those who fall away. My friends, you are not affected by the achievements of the wicked. Don't become affected by the achievements of the wicked. People who fall away seem to prosper for a while. Are you hearing me? People who walk away seem to be joyful for a while. People who walk away seem to be excited for a while. They said, hey, you know, now that I left church, I seem to have more friends. And they seem to be happy. They're playing golf and they are going around with the rich and famous. And they're driving big cars even though they are alone and so on. Everything seems to be fine for them until all of hell begins to break loose upon them. Bible says, my eyes, you know, will hate the work of those who fall away. Amen. We will not be associated. David was almost caught in this trap. He said, Lord, why are the wicked prospering? Here am I. I give my whole life to you. I'm not prospering. But the wicked people are prospering. They are becoming better and better. The one who has backslidden seems to have more friends. The one who has gone out there and compromised got married. I'm still not married. What is happening to me? The one who has gone out there and compromised and cheated has got a job. Now I'm here trusting you, praying, and don't seem to have a job that, you know, what is happening? Until he went into the presence of God and found out these people who had compromised, their feet is on slippery path. Oh, David said, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I didn't know these things. But I know God is righteous. God is holy. The righteous will lack no bread, he said. Hallelujah. My friends, we must understand. We must hate the works of those who fall away. It will not fasten its grip on me. Are you hearing me? It will not fasten its grip on me. These things will not hold me down. These things will not affect me. It will not shake me. It will not cause my mind and my emotion to become entangled, to ask questions like, why, Lord? Why? How come? I will not ask these things. They will not fasten its grip on me, not on my mind, not on my emotions. I know that the righteous will suffer, will be blessed with all good things. Amen? Because I know you are coming to me. That's all that matters. Hallelujah. Do you know that resolves a lot of things inside our hearts? Because we know He is coming. Hallelujah. He is coming. You know, I believe this year, all right, God is visiting not only my church and my life, but He is going to visit us. This is a year of grace. This is a season of God visiting our lives in a very, very special way. In a way that we have never had an encounter before. Where the lives are going to be changed. Our names are going to be changed. Our positions are going to be changed. Amen. All our circumstances are going to be changed. Every situation of our life is going to be changed. Hallelujah. What a day it's going to be. When will you come to me? It says this in verse 4. A perverse heart shall depart from me, and I will not become acquainted with evil. He said, look, God, I'm going to only fellowship with those of a pure heart. The heart of people who are perverse and they are twisted. I will stay away from them. Hey, my friends, be very careful. It's one thing to go out there and just begin to minister among those that are needy and those whose hearts are contaminated and so on and so forth. But we cannot fellowship with a perverse heart because God cannot be able to reach out to us. Because if you walk with the wise, you become wise. You walk with the foolish, you become foolish. You walk with those who are contaminated, you become contaminated. Redefine the people that you connect with. redefine your fellowship grounds. Redefine the man or woman you are going to talk to, because the more you associate with the wrong kind, the worse it's going to become. God said, I cannot come to you because of who is around about you. He said to Abraham, Abraham, I cannot bless you. Even though I've given you the land, I cannot tell you this is your land because Lot is with you. But the day Lot separated himself from Abraham, God said, lift up your eyes now. Lift up your eyes, see as far as possible, to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. He said, all this thing I've given to you. But I'm sure Abraham said, Lord, was this not the same land I was standing with, Lord? God said, exactly. Now, why didn't you tell me? Because then Lot will share your inheritance. God don't want the perverse, you know, those who are perverted in their hearts and in their minds to share what God has prepared for you, because He is jealous. He is your Father. Amen. He wants you to have the full dose. He don't want to be the one giving you half, and the other half that He's prepared for you, He giving it to somebody else. God said, I will not allow the inheritance of my children to be shared with foreigners, with strangers outside my house. God is jealous. Amen. He wants to give you everything. That's why He says, don't fellowship. All right. A perverse heart, I will not fellowship, so that I will not know the evil. I will not know the evil of the perverse heart. I will not be associated with that which is of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I am going to live in such a way because I know God is coming. Verse 5, who secretly slanders in his neighbor, him I will destroy. My friends, listen to this. You cannot slander somebody. You cannot secretly slander somebody, because that tantamounts to curse and witchcraft. You're speaking evil over the ways, over the lives of people. So we can only move in truth and make declarations of that which is pure. Amen. We can't stand behind the scene and secretly send out words, slanders, lies, and begin to speak words of witchcraft. The Bible says that's wrong. God said, I won't come. If that's the case, I won't come near you, because you have learned to utter curses out of your mouth. That's why the Bible tells us this. If God's going to come, let's cleanse our lips. Move only on truth and clean words of life. Speak only that which is good. No one who has a haughty look and an arrogant heart will I endure. You know, you must be quick to walk free from the proud, from those who are arrogant. Are you listening to me? God is so, so interested in a righteous life. When will you come to me? So David knew that God is going to come to him. He sought himself out completely. Verse 6 to verse 7 and 8. I'm going to show you, as it were, God speaking. Instead of just David speaking, I want to use it as God speaking. He says, my eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. They will dwell with me. God said, look, when I come, when I begin to bless, I'm going to set my eyes on this company of people, and they will dwell with me. How about an assurance of God's presence upon our lives? Amen. We want God to be able to say, hey, these are the people that I have come to meet. Now I want them to dwell with me. How about that? Amen. We want assurance of God's presence upon our life, because we have kept ourselves clean, pure. When He visits us, He will qualify us to walk with Him for the rest of our days. Can you say amen to that? The Bible says he who walks in a blameless way is the one who will minister to me. How about approval of our worship? God said, if this man and woman will keep their hearts pure, and when I come and visit them, they will minister to me. Amen. God said, I want them to minister to me. You remember the sons of Levi who in the time when Israel was walking into sin in the worship of the golden calf, they fell into sin, but the sons of Zadok did not bow their knees to the golden calf. What did God say in Ezekiel? He said, the sons of Zadok will come near me. They will minister to me. Whereas the sons of Levi, they fell in the time of the golden calf. They will minister at afar. They must minister in the outer court. But in the holy of holies, I will not allow them. In the holy place, I will not allow them. But the sons of Zadok will come and minister to me. What a privilege. Approve us that we can minister to Him. That God said, I will drink from your fountain. I will drink from your heart. I will be blessed by your worship. I like that to happen for us. That when He comes, He will assure me, you will dwell with me. Hallelujah. Do you know how powerful that is? You know how powerful that is when God said, you will dwell with me. You stay with me here. Come up with me. Wherever I go, you stay with me. Walk with the Lamb wherever He goes. Amen. And then he says this, that they will minister to me. And then he looked down in verse 7, he who practices deceit shall not dwell within my house. Hallelujah. Passionately, we are doing his purposes in his house. How about that? God said, they will dwell within my house. Not only will we minister to him, but we will dwell within his house. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I have a permanent place in his house. I'm not going to be cut out. I'm not going to be cut off. I'm not going to be cast away, but I'm going to be a permanent part of this glorious thing that he is building, which is his house, that when he inhabits a place, I have a portion and a part to play. Can you say amen to that? This is something very essential for us to feel inside our heart. God said, I will give them a permanent place so that they will dwell with me. He who speaks falsehood shall not maintain his position. How about being honored with great stature? Hallelujah. They will maintain their position. They will not lose their place. Isn't it good? Hey, don't get down on me. I said, isn't that good? All right, that's what it says, that they will maintain his position before me. Hallelujah. So that nobody can take our place. Mary, you have found a good place. No man can take it away. Hallelujah. That's a place that God has given to us. That is a place for each one of us in his kingdom. That is a place, an assigned primary assignment for all of us. God said, look, they will maintain their position before me. Every morning, I will destroy all the wicked of the land so as to cut off from the city the wicked people of the Lord. Hey, listen to this. When the wicked are removed, the righteous, the Bible says, when the stumbling blocks and the wicked and the unrighteous, the lawless are removed, what will happen? The righteous will shine in the kingdom of their Father. That is security. As long as the wicked people are there is no security. You know, you have snatch thieves, you have rapists, you have murderers, you have, all kinds of evil taking place in society. People are so afraid. There's no more security. In fact, in nations, they raise up an entire security council. But God said, I will remove the wicked from the land so that my righteous people can dwell in safety. You know, I prayed for my land just a few days ago, as we see so many things are beginning to happen. Rape cases, crimes and abduction and all kinds of things and snatch thieves and violence and murder and being shot here and so on. Crimes seem to be increasing. But we're praying that God, the Holy Ghost, will begin to remove the wicked off the land. Amen. That the righteous can dwell securely in the place. Remove darkness out of the land. Remove the wicked out of the land. Expose. Get them caught. Amen. So many foil attempts. So many attempts that was foiled by the police. So many attempts was just completely cut off. So many things that they tried to do did not become successful. Why? Because God wanted to remove the wicked of the land. Amen. Hey, listen. When he would come to you, when will he come to you? Build those bases for you. And God promises. Amen. God promises all these wonderful promises. I believe that there is coming to us is inevitable. The day of God encounter is approaching nearer and nearer and nearer and nearer. That when God will begin to meet with you, oh, only good can happen. Amen. Only the wonderful things can begin to happen, because God will begin to cleanse our hearts, because we're going to have nothing evil on the inside of us, because his encounter is to see things happen around about us. The encounter is not just to bless you. Amen. That encounter is just not to give you some sense of good feelings inside your heart. That encounter is to see things happen around about your life. First, happen in his house, happen in the land. Are you listening to me? Happen in his presence, all right? Happen in your life. You know, all kinds of wonderful things have begun to happen. It says first his presence, then we find worship in his presence, then we find his house, then we find his land, then we find in our own lives as a person in our position. All kinds of things will begin to happen so that his will and his plan can be finished on planet Earth. Can you say amen to that? I believe the Lord will not just visit us, but commune with us to such an extent that that encounter will change us forever. When will you come to me? When will you come to me? What a day it's going to be when God begins to answer that the day I'm going to visit you is going to be the day of your now. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen to Isaiah 54. Shout for joy, O barren one, you who have borne no child. Break forth into joyful shouting, and cry aloud, you who have not travailed. For the sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Spare not. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your pegs. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left. And your descendants will possess nations and will resettle the desolate cities. Fear not, for you will not be put to shame. You will not feel humiliated, for you will not be disgraced. But you will forget the shame of your youth, and the reproach of your widowhood you will remember no more. For your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, who is called the God of all the earth. For the Lord has called you like a wife forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a wife of one's youth when she is rejected, says your God. For a brief moment I forsook you, but with great compassion I will gather you. In an outburst of anger I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting loving kindness I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. This evening, let me just help you to understand the word that God has spoken to my heart was this: to enlarge your sphere of influence, to increase your sphere of influence by enlarging the capacity of your spirit. Can somebody say amen to that? Do you believe in this? Talk to me, do you believe in this? Let's meet in the same level as I'm coming. I said, can we meet in the same level I'm coming? Okay, I said, can I meet you in the same level I'm approaching you? Okay, this is what happens. It says, God is going to increase our sphere of influence by enlarging the capacity of our spirit. Here we find this, that it says, shout for joy, O barren one, you who have borne no child. Break forth into joyful shouting and cry aloud, you who have not travailed. For the sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman. There is something that this woman who is barren saw. She saw something in the spirit that she began to rejoice in. And I believe this is going to be one of the major key that God is going to give to us, the ability to see in the spirit that our future is not going to be limited by what has happened in our lives. Are you listening to me? That our future is not going to be limited by our past. Our future is not going to be limited by the present condition that we are living in, because in the spirit, we are far bigger than what we have seen ourselves in the natural. Can you say amen to that? This is going to be our hope, my friends, for us to escape these limitations of our life and enlarge the sphere of all that God has planned for us, is to be able to see in the spirit a new world that is not where we are bound in. Can you say amen to that? And I believe very, very strongly, this is what this woman saw. That's the reason why there was such a rising on the inside of her heart, because she saw in the natural she was barren. In the natural, she was losing out. In the natural, others had more children. In fact, she is not even married. There were so many processes in between for her to see the fulfillment, but yet in the spirit she saw that she had already the results even before the natural processes took place. Why? Because she saw something in the spirit that began to activate a joy and a shout. And I want you to know, the moment you see things in the spirit, there is a shout of God that begins to rise on the inside of your heart. Are you hearing me? And this is the thing that we need to have. Once our eyes begin to see, something must rise on the inside of our heart that will begin to shout for joy. Amen. It's not going to be limited. It's not going to be bound. It's not going to destroy the vocabulary of our hearts, because everything that we see in the spirit must have language. Sometimes people feel, but feeling is not good enough. It must be placed into a language, because words create. Feels is only make you feel good. Are you hearing me? We're not just worshiping God just to feel good. We're worshiping so that that which we worship, we can have an understandable thought patterns of all that is happening, so that we can articulate it in what's called praise, in what's called worship. If it does not become audible, my friends, the most of the time it just stays within and becomes confined. But God is very interested in helping you and I see into the spirit in this hour. Your sphere will not increase beyond what you see. Amen. You will never be able to see. That's the reason why if you don't see what's on the inside of your heart, you don't see what God has planned for you and what God has established in the spirit for you, then there is no way out to see the increase of your boundaries. Your boundaries will not increase. Your resources will not increase. Your life will never have the influence outside if all you see is all you naturally are. If you look at yourself, you said, I'm just not even married. And the married woman has children and I'm not even married. And how can I have more than all these things put together? How can I bypass the natural processes and come into a spiritual output in God so that there is such resources, even what the naturally they could not receive, I can enter in by the way of the Spirit. My friend, the way of the Spirit is to be able to see it. Amen. That's why God often said to the prophet, Son of man, what do you see? Because if you cannot see, you cannot enter. God said to Abraham, Abraham, arise. As far as your eyes can see, to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west, I will give it to you. You cannot possess something you can't see. Oh, you ever get excited? I said, you cannot possess something you can't see. You know, that's the reason why the moment we begin to see, something gets articulated on the inside of our heart. That's why when we are here in this place, you got to learn. God, learn, don't just hear in your head. Learn to hear in your spirit and let it rise on the inside of your heart so that you can say things. Are you with me? I said, are you with me?
Yeah.
Some of you will never say anything until I ask you. It's basically because you have a mindset. Don't respond until people ask. Response is not my asking. Response is your connecting. Are you with me? It's your connection. And that's why in every service, you just gotta learn to just rise above the natural. Let the Spirit get touched. Rise into it. See, my friends, you can't do what I'm doing in the nations of the earth until you learn this secret. I'm gonna teach you every day for the next 30 days, as it were. Right from the beginnings of time. Teach you until you learn it. Because if you don't know these things, you will be bound continually by a system. When you go back to your churches, you go back straight away to the same thing that you came out from. Then everything that has been done here is a total waste. Because the devil doesn't mind what enters into you. He is interested in just keeping it in. Are you listening to me? The only way he's going to keep it in is when you start to think in your head and don't open your mouth and just let it be killed. That's why the word of God cannot be imprisoned. Are you hearing me? The word of God cannot be imprisoned. The only way it's going to be imprisoned is when the devil keeps you silent. He keeps you shut. He won't allow you to speak. He won't allow you to articulate this thing. This woman could have seen many things. This woman could have seen many things. But if she did not open her mouth and shout for joy, there are things that will not happen. My friends, that's the reason why they had to shout for joy. They had to shout the shout of God that was breaking out on the inside of them. The walls does not break, my friends, unless that shout rises from within your heart. See, what you see must transpire on the inside of our hearts. It must break something on the inside of us. Sometimes fear won't allow you to shout. You'll say, well, let's just think about it. Oh, that's what they say. Well, let's just think about it. Let's say amen under our breath. My friend, that's the reason why we have so much religion in the church. Are you hearing me? That's why when you start to hear, let everything within you rise and connect in the spirit. Oh, well, I thought, well, you know, it's so funny. Isn't he a great preacher? I'm not talking about me because I'm having my breakthroughs. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about how you can enter into those things. If it's about me, then I don't have to worry about it. But it's about you that I'm concerned because you got to see things in the spirit. You got to begin to pick things up in the spirit. She began to shout for joy. Amen. Something rose on the inside of our heart. Something must rise so strong. Everything that you see must begin to rise strongly on the inside of your spirit. To such an extent that you will begin to have an ability to shout. You know when shout will take place? Do you know when shouts take place? Shouts don't take place when there is just little things. Shout take place when there is great things. Because this woman saw more than just the natural thing. She saw in the spirit. That's why there arose a shout. Amen. There arose a shout. There is a great measure of volume that rises from within. My friends, everything that you see must learn to become articulated. It's a shout for joy. Something rises strong on the inside of our hearts. Can you say amen to that? I said, can you say amen to that? That's why don't let anything that you feel on the inside of your heart become intimidated by your own self, by your own thinking patterns, by your own behavior. Because if ever you feel anything, you got to learn to let that go. Let that rise on the inside of your heart. See, sometimes we think, well, you know, we're not sure if this is acceptable. Because this is the acceptable order. What you learn is religion. What I'm teaching you is the acceptable ways of God. That's how I got to learn. When you hear something, you got to learn how to respond to it inside your spirit and begin to rise up. Can you say amen to that? My friend, this is what happened to this woman. She saw something and the shout of God rose on the inside of her heart. It began to leap out of her. You cannot have extensions until there's a capacity on the inside of your heart. Breaking internal limitations must break on the inside of you. Your fears must begin to break. The fears of men on the inside of you must begin to break. Your wrong thought patterns must begin to break. All kinds of, you know, natural limitations inside you must begin to break. You must not feel what you feel. You gotta feel something different. Man, you cannot shout until you feel something different. Is that right? I said, stop staring at me. I said, is that right? Okay. Some of you look so religiously blank. Do you know that's demonic hole on your mind and on your heart? I'm telling you, I'm serious this evening. Because that's the hole of the enemy. Because no matter what happens, they just cannot move. They are frozen. There's great things happening, but they are frozen. You see, that's how the enemy holds us. We cannot express. We can't feel. We can't feel the environment. We can't identify with what is taking place in our heart. Deep down there somewhere, there is a small amen. What a miserable life. I said, what a miserable life. I learned to rise on the inside of your heart. Because he said, shout for joy for that which is rising within. My friends, listen very, very carefully. Because this is what this woman had. She saw the thing in the spirit. Are you hearing me? She saw the thing in the spirit. She saw the thing in the spirit. That is a thing that broke all the limitations on the inside of our heart. If you don't see, those things don't break. It's not just hearing in your head, well, I'm not sure, but I hope it is true. It's not about hoping it's true. It is true. That's why you see it. That's why you begin to see. Amen. Because God wants you to see what you can be. He wants you to see what you should be. He wants you to see all that He has planned for you to be. That's why the plans of God are more phenomenal. The plans of God are out there for us, far bigger than what we can do in the natural. God wants us to come into it. Are you hearing me? He wants us to come into it. That's the reason why we find in Isaiah 54, there was an amazing word. It said, shout for joy, O barren one. Yes, it's true, you are barren. It's true that in the natural, you don't have the breakthroughs, but in the spirit, you are far bigger. And the day you begin to see these things, you will set yourself free. You won't act like, oh, you know, I'm not sure about this stuff. I'm not sure about what I'm hearing in the school. I'm not sure about this man. I have been living in this manner for so many years that I can believe with all my heart, everything he sees, it will be done. Everything we see, it will begin to transpire on the earth. And that's the reason why God began to speak to this text of scripture in Isaiah 54. Can you imagine Isaiah prophesying this? Prophesying about a generation that will walk beyond the natural. You're not even married. Are you listening? In the natural, you got to get married, then you have children, and year after year, you got a plan, and they have more and more. But the Bible tells us, it tells a woman, hey, you shout for joy. Get ready. Because what God's going to do to you is far beyond the natural. He's going to help you bypass the natural processes. You'll enter into all that I planned for you. Think seriously. If you just all walk according to the natural, and if you walk according to the flesh, you will fail. I said, you will fail. But if you walk according to the Spirit, the Bible says there is peace and life. For each one of us, we must see beyond. See beyond the natural limitation. See beyond the natural life. And begin to see that in the spirit. Until a shell rises on the inside of our hearts. There must be something that transpires so strong. You know, sometimes we see something. You know, you see, sometimes you watch this. There is a thief. He snatches the handbag of somebody. Some people just have nothing inside them to shout. They freeze. They're so frightened by the environment, by the circumstances, that they don't shout. There's nothing. The whole life is just frozen. The voice is killed. Is that true? But you know, the ones who alert save the day. Those who shout will begin to attract attention. Are you hearing me? Anybody who shout attracts attention. If you're in a crowd and begin to shout, you're the first one. Everybody will look around. And I want you to know, we're going to be a distinctive generation because of what is going to rise on the inside of our hearts. Let's look further in those verses of scripture. So you got to see. You got to see in the spirit. And whatever you see in the spirit must begin to rise on the innermost being until it comes out of your mouth. Are you hearing this? That's the reason why our Bible talks about prophesying, speak, shout, declare. Make that word known. Articulate it. Whatever you feel on the inside of your heart. I'm not the kind of person, if I feel something in the Holy Ghost, that I want to hold back. No, not me, my friends. And I pray that this will never be your portion where you hold back. Well, you know, we'll just let it come out little by little. My friend, it's not little by little. The Bible says, shout! You're waiting for some tricklets out here, a little there. What kind of life are you living? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will. I pray that God heal you. Because until you see, things will never happen. He said, break forth into joyful shouting. Cry aloud, you who have not travailed. Listen to this, my friends. I want to show you the secret. First, see. Are you listening to me? First see, then shout. Are you hearing this? Once you see in the spirit, and you start to enter into the joy of what you see, then God give you power to birth it into the natural. God is going to give you power to birth those things into the natural. You can't birth what you can't feel. Or else you're going to only birth air. Is that true? That's what the Bible says. They travail, but they brought forth just air. Wind. Isn't that what the book of Isaiah 65 tells us that? You got to feel something strong enough on the inside of your heart. And then God said, I'm going to give you power how to make this thing happen. Now you cry aloud and travail because you're going to bring forth. I hope you can capture this, because I'm not giving you a whole detailed sermon. I'm just giving you main headlines and main points, because you got to pick this thing up in the Holy Ghost. Because many things are not taught. Many things are caught in the Holy Ghost. See. Feel strong enough until there is a strong emotional outburst on the inside of your heart. You're so excited about it, nobody can keep you down. The Bible said, blind Bartimaeus shouted all the more. He shouted all the more. They said to the man, be quiet, be quiet. The Bible said, he shouted all the more. There must be something that transpires inside your heart so loud that it can't be stopped by other voices of man. Lies of the enemy. Are you hearing me? You got to not let that voice that's rising on the inside of you begin to be stopped. Because until that begins to arise, my friends, Jesus will not stop to pay attention to you. I say this again. Maybe you misunderstood what I just said. Jesus will never stop to pay attention to you, because there's nothing big enough in there. You go to the doc, go to the hospital and say, I think I'm going to deliver. They said, well, it's not time. Go back home. Have a sandwich or something. Because it's not time. God won't respond to you. You want to know when God's going to respond to you until your shout drowns every other shout. Until what your voice rises above every other voice, the voice of the enemy. That's the only time, my friends, where they say, well, you know, we are Asians. Oh, God help you. Stop living in that curse. Keep continually feeling, oh, I'm a female, I'm small, I'm big, I'm lady, I'm man, I'm black, I'm white. I'm rich, I'm poor. Well, I pray to God that something happens on the inside of our lives. God said, cry aloud, travail, because I'm going to teach you how to bring it forth. See. See in the spirit. Let it transpire until it becomes so clear, loud, strong on the inside of your heart. God said, I'm going to show you how. Now you're going to learn to cry. You're going to travail. And you're going to bring forth. That's the reason why we raise a new generation. Isaiah prophesied about a new generation of people who know the secret. Are you hearing this? They don't operate by the natural. They operate by a spiritual dimension, a supernatural dimension. They don't act normal. Are you hearing me? Because the Bible says He is to us our husband. We conceive things in the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? It's not by the natural process. Conceive things in the Holy Ghost. Whatever that needs to be brought in the earth by the natural, we can bring it by our connection with the heavens. We're together with God. All things become possible. Well, I hope you feel things inside your heart. I hope you feel like you can walk down this nation, walk down the streets of the earth and begin to believe, God, you're going to do something through my life. You're going to make this thing happen. You're going to help me take back my city. You're going to help me take back my country from the hands of the enemy. You're going to help me. Something has to happen. Amen. Oh, I pray some of you white folks will get delivered too. Some of you Asian folks that are coming from our church will get delivered too. Some of you sitting there glued to your chairs. I hope you get delivered. In any part of the world, I only find the black people just rising up and they are just wild. They are just wild. I hope you, some white folks, will get enough strength to get out from your bum and begin to rise up in the Holy Ghost. It says to us this. He said, break forth into joyful shouting. Cry aloud, you who have not travailed. For the sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman. Are you hearing this? You see, it is this reason. I haven't finished yet. What are you moving about? Bible tells us this. God said, get ready. So as you travail, as you begin to bring forth, you're going to have so many breaking outs. God began to speak to her, the process that I'm going to work with you is going to create such an impact. It's going to break out from within you. It's just going to break everywhere. And then you know what God said to her? He said, now I want you to enlarge the place of your tent. You know, she had not even brought forth. Are you listening to me? She had not even brought forth. But God said, all right, make preparation. Enlarge the place of your tent. Begin to enlarge the place of your tent. You see, my friends, you can't say you got faith until you begin to produce some actions that actually say, yes, I'm a man of faith. Faith is a fact, but faith is also an act. You got to do something that confirms what you believe on the inside of your heart. He says, start enlarging the place of your tent. Spare not. He says, spare not. Keep enlarging. Keep pushing the territories.
He says, start pushing it in the spirits. Start enlarging your minds, enlarging the concepts of your mind. Start enlarging, start spreading out. He said, take your hands and stretch, lengthen the cords and strengthen the pegs and begin to extend everywhere you can extend. I don't know about you. You know, when God tells things like this, this is what you got to do. You got to find areas that are fallow ground in your life. Areas that are not clean. Cleanse that area. Areas that are not broken. Break that area. You know, there are personality traits in our lives. Are you listening to me? There are some personality traits you got to break free from. Some fears on the inside of our heart, we got to break free from. Some thought patterns, we got to crush it in the name of Jesus. We can't be thinking, I've never done this before. Start doing it in the spirit. Start breaking through with the Holy Ghost. That's the reason why people don't break through. They just live like this forever. Forever. All their life. They just live under one rut. But I refuse to be confined. I refuse to bow to that which happens. We revoke the decrees of all that the enemy tried to do to hold us back. Are you hearing me tonight? He says, start to enlarge your tent. Find some areas in your life that needs to be broken. Tonight, take it before God. Break it open. Find some things inside your heart that is holding you, that is blocking you. Break it, break it, break it. Stretch it out. But you said to me, well, you know, these 2 weeks I've been stretched. Stretch more, stretch more, stretch more, stretch more. Press for more. Stretch for more. You know, my friends, the scripture says this. It said, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out your curtains, the curtains of your dwelling. Take another step forward. I said, take another step forward. Take another step forward. Take another step forward. Enter into the things. Start enlarging your dwelling place. Don't let the enemy just hold you, keep you in a place of confinement. Are you listening to me? Stretch out your dwelling. Push forward. You know, one of the things I wish is this. All those people who are standing right at the back there, you get involved. And they're all full gospel members. Oh, God help you. How long will I have to be with you? Get yourself involved. Don't look dead. Look alive. You see, this is what the Bible tells us there. He said, enlarge the place of your dwelling. Don't dwell in limitations anymore. Don't dwell in limitations. Don't dwell in confinement. As the Lord help you, God, give me a broader place. A broader place to dwell. It's time. I'm telling you, it is time you make bigger place for God. Some people are so unfruitful. They do nothing for the kingdom. They just go to work, come back, and just appear in church. Oh, I pray to God. God will help us enlarge our dwelling. Start to do something more. Start to do something more for God. Let the dwelling of our lives become wider, broader. You know why? Because every place that you will take, He will live in it. Every place that you will take, every territory that you expand, God will come and live in there. He will live in that place. Are you hearing me? You start extending things in your life, God will fill it. I say, God will fill it. You put another 20 more chairs in your church, God will fill it. Put another 50 more chairs in your church, God will fill it. The problem with most of us is this: there's nothing strong enough on the inside of us. I pray you become so strong on the inside of you. Stretch out your dwelling. Stretch out your dwellings. Get into enemy territory. Take back grounds. I said, take back grounds. Take new grounds. New areas of victory for your own life. Take new grounds. Grounds that has been taken by the enemy. Now you got to stretch it out. Walk into it. Are you listening to me? You got to walk into it. God said to Abraham, Abraham, see as far as you can see. I'll give it to you. Walk into it. Stop behaving the way you live. Start allowing God to take over your lives. Are you hearing me? I said, are you hearing me? Spend on every ounce of energy that you have. Every ounce of energy that you have. You know, push with all your might. And this is what God says to us. See, let the shout of God ascend from within. Once you capture the thing in the spirit, God said, I'm going to teach you how to travail and build it on the ground. You know, I'm going to teach you how to birth it on the ground. Then after that, I'm going to teach you how to contain it. Expand, expand. Keep all. Keep those things roundabout. Are you hearing this? We just don't want to expand without able to contain what has happened. So when we begin to enlarge, we can contain everything that the numerous kids and children and the abundance that God's going to give to us. But you see, you can't keep all of that unless you expand your dwellings. Look at this. He said, then lengthen your cords and strengthen your packs. Just listen, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left. Every territory, left, right, anywhere. You know, when he says you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, simply means there's nobody to stop you, my friends. You can buy the house on this side, you can buy the house on that side, you can buy the house in the front, you can buy the house on the back. It's yours. You can walk into this nation, you can walk into that nation, you can walk anywhere. It's yours, it's free. It's free for all. God began to give us such a freedom. Now that's a woman who's not even married. That's a woman in the natural. Somebody would have said, you are barren, you're cursed. Is that right? Tell me, is that right? If that's what God can do with those under a curse, think about those who have been blessed. Are you hearing? You can turn to the left, to the right, anywhere. I'll give it to you. He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead, extend, left, right. He said, you will spread to the left or to the right. And then it says this, your descendants will possess nations. You see, not only is God giving those, this woman breakthrough to bring forth, but her seed, what she brings forth, is more powerful than her. Oh, I don't know if you heard what I said. The seed she produced will possess nations. So what God will do through your life and my life will be greater, will be stronger, greater works. What a powerful dimension. Your descendants will possess nations. They will resettle in the cities. They will resettle. You know, the word resettle over there is this, is to repossess. You know, it's not going in and settling in. No. That's not what it meant. Those who possess nation, he said, you will go in there and resettle. Simply means you'll go in there and that will become your place. Every place you go in is going to become your portion. Tell me, what a mighty time God has planned for us. I want you to get ready inside your own heart and mind, friends, because God's going to enlarge. Amen. God's going to enlarge our sphere. He's going to enlarge our sphere by enlarging our capacity on the inside of us. And then he says to us this verse, fear not, you will not be put to shame. Fear not, you will not be humiliated, for you will not be disgraced. You will forget the shame of your youth, the reproach of your widowhood, you will remember no more. He said, when you begin to break out, he said, you won't even remember your old days. You won't remember the shame of barrenness, you won't remember. He said, you are going to break out. You will never be humiliated. You will never be put to shame. This is true. This will be a portion. But I know there are some of you standing here, you may be thinking, well, what if this does not happen? I curse that thought. I curse that thought from the devil. I break the decree of darkness. That thought came from the pit of hell. We have nothing to do with thoughts like that. Because we will not be humiliated. We will never be put to shame. Why? Because the Lord is our husband. He is our maker. He is the one over our lives. Are you hearing me? He said, we will not be put to shame. He tells us this. He said, because the Lord is your maker. He is your redeemer. And I want you to know inside, God will begin to heal our past. The past shame, the past widowhood, the past things. God will heal. He will heal the past. He will heal the past. And set us free. The past cannot hold us. The past lies of the enemy cannot hold our lives. Are you hearing me? He said, nothing is going to hold you. No shame. Nothing of the past. Because there's a new thing breaking out on the inside of us. See what the Spirit of God has planned. Let it rise on the inside of your heart. Learn to bring it forth in the Spirit. Learn to bring to birth the things in the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing me? Bible says one of the things you got to learn to do is just learn to extend the boundaries. Learn to start working on these things. He said, fear not. Never be put to shame. He said, God said, a set time has come. A time to favor.
At one time, I watched your response, lady. I watched your response. See how you are. For a time I left you. It looks like you were stricken. It looks like a time you were disciplined. It looks like a time God moved away. But it's at a set time I came back to you. Because I have seen that you trust me. I've seen that you're getting connected with me. And God said, I'm going to cause this thing to turn around. And that's why the last few verses of the Bible tells us this in chapter 54. No weapon formed against us will prosper. No weapon formed against us will prosper. Verse 17, it says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that accuses you in judgment will be condemned. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their vindication is from God. God said, I'm going to stand by you. God said, I'm going to protect you. God said, I'm going to watch over you. You will not be ashamed. You will not be humiliated. You will not be put down. You will not be oppressed. But you will be the favored one of the Lord. You believe that? I said, do you believe that? In your heart, I want you to learn to feel things like this in the Holy Ghost. My friend, these times are more powerful than the times you have there. Because these are times to connect in the Holy Ghost. In the Spirit. A half an hour in the presence of God like this. It will energize your life. Will strengthen your life. It will make you so powerful in the Holy Ghost. Will help you push things in the Spirit. You will start to have victories in the Spirit. You start to open new boundaries in the Holy Ghost. That's why the nights are important. Even in the night hour, we will have a song of the Lord. Nothing can hold us back. Nothing can keep us within the boundaries. Are you hearing? My friends, listen. I'm not just excited. I've gone beyond the place of excitement. I know when I do things in the Holy Ghost, when I say what I'm saying, I know hell is bowing. Satan's power is coming down. Satan's works is crumbling. It's not just excitement. Excitement, you can have anything to get you excited, but this is more than excitement. We're not excited, my friends. We are just connected. We're connected to a spiritual dimension that is going to give us power to redesign our lives. That is going to give us power to take us away from the being just one barren girl to become numerous and having descendants to possess nations. We are going to multiply and shrink. So I want you to get ready. Because God wants to enlarge our territories. He wants to increase the sphere of our influence by enlarging the capacity of our spirit on the inside. Are you hearing this? I said, are you hearing this? Look around. Church in the future is going to be like this. I said, church in the future is going to be like this. We're not just going to have people sitting down there, I don't know. I'm telling you, if you don't change, your place will be taken over by others. I pray to God every day that there will be a congregation according to my choosing, my liking. Somebody that I can rise in the Holy Ghost. I hear people sitting down there. Well, I'm not sure. I want a congregation that begins to rise in the power of the Holy Ghost. We got to pull the works of the enemy down. Are you listening to me?
Think about a day when 500 people will be like this. Oh, I don't know about the rest of you. God has promised me. God has promised me He will give me the church that I have dreamed all my life. A company of people that will never bow to the enemy's pressure. Never to bow to culture, never to bow to nothing. A new day is breaking out. Are you hearing this? There was a man by the name of Jabez. The Bible tells us that he was more honorable than all his brothers. And his mother named him Jabez because she said, I bore him with pain. I don't know any mother who born children without pain. I don't know what she was complaining about. I really don't know. I don't know what the big fuss is all about the prayer of Jabez. But I can tell you, it definitely is not what people think. This is what he said. He called on the God of Israel and he said, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my borders. And your hand might be mighty with me. And that you would keep me from harm. That harm will not pain me. He never wanted to increase boundary without pain. Because there is no increase without pain. What was he saying? I don't want the pain of the enemy harm upon my life, but I want to increase boundaries for you. What does that mean? It simply means this. I do not want the devil to hit me. Help me enlarge my boundaries. I want to push back the enemy. Because the enemy tried that when I was born. This is payback time. The day I was born, he tried. He tried to stop my mother from bringing me forth by causing excessive pain. But I don't want to be like my mother. I want to bring forth. I want to spread to the left, to the right. I want to spread everywhere. But help me to hold back the harm of the enemy. He said, Satan will not be able to harm me or create pain or force me. That's what he prayed. I hope people read the Bible accurately. Some of those books have been selling millions and millions. But that's not what he said. Enlarge the boundary without pain. No, that's not what he meant. He is talking about the pain of harm. Sometimes the fear of harm can prevent us from extending our boundaries. We are so scared because we thought of retaliation. We are so scared to go forward because of we think of the consequences. My mother almost stopped me from coming out into the world because of pain. She said, no, there's too much pain. I don't want the baby to be out. Are you with me? I said, I want to be free. I want to enlarge. No retaliation from the enemy. But I want to push the enemy out. Are you hearing? Are we going to enlarge our territories? Are we going to be afraid of the enemy? Are we going to be afraid of shame? Are we going to be humiliated? Are we going to be held in fear? Because we will enlarge the boundary because God said so. God said, enlarge the place of your tent. Come on, lift those hands and just begin to magnify Him. Hallelujah.